There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. Welcome to this time of worship. This is the day that God is creating. This is the day that God is making and is inviting us to be participants in that creation. And we thank God that we have that calling and that we can connect and worship the God of life and liberation today. I want to give thanks for each of you being here today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being here. If you are visiting and this is the first time you're joining us on Zoom in this worship format, we invite you to introduce yourself. If you want to do that in the chat function, you can let us know your name and that you're here. Or if you want to email me, you can do that also with the email that's in front of you on the screen, tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. And let me know your name and a little bit about yourself. We would love to meet you. And so we welcome you also to this time. And even though we are physically scattered away from each other in all different places, we're grateful that we can gather in this way together and to connect and worship God. So welcome. I have just a few announcements I want to share with us this morning. First of all, today, right after our service, we'll have a few moments to say hello to each other, and then we're going to move into a meeting, an informational meeting, and a time to ask questions about our proposal to offer sanctuary to a family, because we are going to be taking a vote. We're going to have a congregational meeting and a vote next Sunday, August 2nd. And so this is a meeting really to prepare us for that. If you have questions after reading the sanctuary research report that we sent out, if you have some need for clarification on any of those things, this is a time to really discuss and bring any of our questions to the table before we have our meeting and vote next week. So that will be happening today. You are welcome to join, whether you're a member or not, or just want to hear a little bit more about the process. Please join us. That will be happening right after our service today. And that is just, again, a reminder, next Sunday we will have our congregational meeting, and we will vote on providing sanctuary to a family. Just a reminder that members of Tabernacle are allowed to vote. We have that system in place, but we are also encouraging and inviting anyone who wants to join us for that meeting to be there. So please join us for that time. That will mean next Sunday our meeting and vote will happen. Also, this following Sunday, August 9th, I wanted to just highlight that we have our Exploring Membership class, which will be happening also on Zoom. That's on August 9th. We have that's a class really for anyone interested or even just curious about what membership means and what that looks like at Tabernacle. So we will have time to talk about that. We'll give a little bit of the history of the congregation and some details and expectations and all of that around membership. So you are welcome. If you're just curious, want to learn more, you're welcome to join us for that time. That will be August 9th, 2 weeks from today. Finally, want to just highlight and give a special welcome to Rob Thornton, who will be preaching for us this morning. Rob is a powerful person, fueled with passion for justice, and is a follower of the radical Jesus of the Gospels. And I'm just excited to welcome Rob this morning in this particular way. I mean, Rob doesn't really need a welcome because Rob's been a part of this congregation for a little while now, but I want to offer that welcome just to the pulpit specifically, the virtual pulpit, as he shares the gospel with us and speaks to us. So we give thanks for Rob for his witness and the ministry that he is already doing in this world and in our midst. And we're excited, really excited to hear from him. So thank you, Rob, and thank you for being willing to share with us this morning. So those are our announcements and words of welcome. We're going to continue to worship together as we call ourselves to worship. So let us open our hearts this morning to God's Spirit.
God has brought you into this space, a space made holy by who you are. You are all God's creation. You are all God's children. God has named us cherished, precious, indispensable, deeply loved. We are here to celebrate all bodies, all ways of loving. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to sing some songs of worship with me this morning, starting with an encouragement. I think I need this right now, but an encouragement to stay the course and to hold on, keep your eyes on the prize. This song is from the African American Civil Rights Movement, and we give thanks for the Black prophets from that time and in our midst today in singing this song.
The only thing that we did wrong was stay in the wilderness too long. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. The only thing that we did right was the day we began to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Stand is the chain of a hand in hand. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on. Hold on.
Thank you.
invite you to think about where Jesus is asking you to go deeper. Jesus said, go out into the water just a little further from the shore. Jesus said, go deeper in the water and you'll find what you're looking for. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wade out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade, I will wade, Lord, I will wade. Jesus said, go out into the water just a little further from the shore. Jesus said, go deeper in the water and you'll find what you're looking for. Jesus said, follow me and leave everything else behind. Lord, I will wade out from the shore. I have faith your grace will meet me there and show me what's in store. I'm not afraid, not anymore. Even though I falter, though I fail, your love will never fade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade. I will wade. Lord, I will wade. I will wade. I will wade.
Amen. This is why I never wear mascara. Past always makes me cry. Okay. Opening prayer. God, we so often forget that every creature you have made is precious to you. We get so tired, so angry, so fearful that we forget to love ourselves. We forget to love each other. We forget the words of your beloved servant Martin Luther King, who said everyone is somebody. We each have, as Dr. King said, our own somebody-ness. In your loving eyes, God, we all count. We all have worth. Amen. Please pray with me. God, help us remember we are all somebody. It seems so simple. It is so hard. When the world mocks us, when the world says you must be this or that, but nothing else, we forget that you, God, invite us to become who we really are. You do not offer us either or. You offer us a world where we can discover our somebody-ness outside of categories and definitions. The only category, the only definition you give us is love. God, help us look with love and energy for that somebody in everyone, for the unique and precious body where each of us lives. Teach us to look with love at each body in your creation. Help us ask each precious body how to love them. Help us love what we see, not what we wish to see. The God who made a universe of holy differences will teach us how to live here. The God who holds us as we struggle will not abandon us. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus, free. Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Because we are set free in Jesus Christ, I invite you to sing a song of praise together. Let's sing. Thank you.
on your love, on your people. Rain down, rain down, rain down your love, God of life. Let's sing that one more time. Rain down, rain down, rain down your love on your people. Rain down, rain down, rain down your love, God of life. God of creation, we long for your truth. You are the water of life that we thirst. Grant that your love and your peace touch our hearts. All of our hope lies in you. Rain down, rain down, rain down your love on your people. Rain down, rain down your love, God of life. Rain down your love, God of life.
Amen.
Because God's rain of love has been poured out on our lives, we receive that love and we share that love and that peace with one another. So you're welcome now to unmute yourself and greet one another with Christ's peace. Peace be with you all.
Bye. Peace be with you.
Hi, Deb.
Thank you, Sarah. Good
night. Peace, Geneva.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Hi, Laura.
Peace, Pax.
Peace to you.
Peace, Jennifer. Nicole.
Peace,
Anna.
Hi, Laura.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning,
Laura.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, Joanna. Oh, hey, Sarah.
Hi, Amy and Jane.
All participants will be unmuted.
For the first reading today, we're going to Philippians 1, 3 to 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began in a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. for God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for your glory and praise of God. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service when we invite children to come closer to the screen, or children at heart, for our children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Katie here. I'm so glad I get to talk to you for a few minutes today. As you know, I'm also Oscar's mom, and Oscar's not here. He is not very patient when it comes to screen, and also when I start talking, he often goes away. He thinks it's kind of boring. So he is not here, but I think a lot of you know who Oscar is. I think he's out playing somewhere now with his other mommy. But I'm glad that I get to talk to you for a few minutes. So I am going to talk to you today about something that is very unusual to talk about for this time of year. I started thinking about snowflakes. It's a very strange thing to think about now that it's so hot outside. It's so hot outside. But I made a couple snowflakes. Here's one. See that? It's kind of pretty. And then I made another one. I tried to make them kind of similar, or first I started thinking, trying to make them to look alike, but I actually found that it was kind of hard to make two snowflakes that look the same. I mean, they're similar, but they look really different. And then when I started trying to make them look the same, I actually thought that was kind of boring. And so I thought it was actually more fun to make them look different. And that it's more beautiful when there's lots of different kinds of snowflakes. And then I started thinking about snowflakes, and that I started doing a little research, and there are no two snowflakes that look exactly alike. There are, in one snow crystal, these many water molecules. Look at all that. Look at all those zeros. I didn't even know how to say that number, so I had to look that up on my computer. This is a quintillion amount of water molecules in one snowflake. Do you know that quintillion is 1,000 quadrillion, which is more than a trillion, and it's more than a billion? It's so many water molecules. It's like you can't even get it in your head. There's so many. And so there's so many water molecules in one snowflake. And each snowflake, there's these molecules arrange themselves in an infinite amount of ways. That's why there's no one snowflake that looks the same. And of course, also a snowflake in one end of the country has different environment than another place in the country. And that's another reason why, because the environments that they're in are different. And so there's so many varieties. And I just thought, that's amazing that there are so many water molecules in one snowflake, and they can arrange themselves in so many different ways. And I started thinking about how God probably thinks that that's just so beautiful and wonderful, that there's no one that's the same. And it's kind of like that for us as people. you know, no one of us, each of us are so different from each other. We are all really unique, and that is special. And it's special to God that we're unique. And I think God has a lot of joy and loves that we're so different. And sometimes it's hard because we're different, because it's hard for us to understand each other, and we have to learn and get to know each other. But God thinks it's so wonderful that we are all really different and unique in all kinds of ways. And one of the things it's good to remember that you are special just because of who you are, and no one person is like you. That's a really special thing and important to remember. And it's also important to remember that other people are also special, and nobody's exactly like them. So that's something that that I think is really good to remember about ourselves and about other people, and that God is excited and gets a lot of joy from all the variety and beauty that is not just in us as humans, but also in our world and in our creation and the trees and plants and all kinds of things. So that's what I've been thinking about. You're not going to see any snowflakes anytime soon, but sometimes it's good to think about things even when they're not here, right? All right, now let's say a prayer before we go. God, thank you for making our world so beautiful, and so many things that are different and wonderful and beautiful in your world. Help us to celebrate and remind ourselves and each other about how beautiful we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
So the next song is a song by Kirk Franklin. It's called Imagine Me. I love this song because it reminds me of that I can win with Christ. So as you listen to this song, I would encourage everyone to imagine all the possibilities that God can work out through you just by allowing him to love you.
Imagine me loving what I see when the mirror looks at me, 'cause I imagine me in a place of no insecurities, and I'm finally happy, 'cause I imagine me letting go all of the ones who hurt me, 'cause they never did deserve me. And you imagine me saying no to thoughts that try to control me, remembering all you told me. Lord, can you imagine me over what my mama said, and healed from what my daddy did, and I wanna live and not read that page again. Imagine me being free, trusting you totally, finally I can. Imagine me, I'll admit it was hard to see you being in love with someone like me, but finally I can. Imagine me being strong, not letting people break me down. You won't get that joy this time around. Can you imagine me in a world where nobody has to live afraid because of your love, fear's gone away? Can you imagine me letting go of the past and glad I have another chance and my heart will dance cause I don't have to read that page again. Imagine me being free, trusting you totally, finally I can imagine me. I'll admit it was hard to see you being in love with someone like me, but finally I can imagine me. Imagine me being free, trusting you totally. Finally I can imagine me. I'll admit it was hard to see you being in love with someone like me, but finally I can imagine me.
This song is dedicated to people like me, those that struggle with insecurities, acceptance, and even self-esteem. You never felt good enough. Never felt pretty enough. But imagine God whispering in your ear, letting you know that everything that has happened is now
gone, gone, it's gone, oh, gone, 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 it's gone, oh, gone, 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 it's gone, oh, gone. Gone, it's gone, oh, gone, it's gone, oh, gone, every ache, every mistake, it's gone, oh, gone, gone, it's gone, oh, gone, 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 it's gone, oh, gone.
Amen. Thank you, Pax. That was very beautiful. So our second scripture is going to come from the book of Philippians, also chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as far as zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider the loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Siblings, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Holy wisdom, holy word. Let us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of love that is unconditional. Thank you for this time spent with the body of Christ and your people. And I pray that you use me and the words and the Holy Spirit to touch someone's heart, to help them know, and to find their sense of somebodiness. In your name I pray, amen. So, before I get started here, I just want to position this. I am not a minister, not a preacher, but I am a witness. And I want to share my journey with everyone. And the hope is just that someone can really relate and that this sermon helps people. So I want to kind of just talk about some of the personal reflections on this chapter or this these few verses that were selected for today. Several years ago, earlier on in my transition, when I would consider my relationship with Christ very estranged, a coworker invited me to her church. It's in Upper Darby, Crossroads Presbyterian Church near 69th Street. And they had a workshop, it's called Discipleship Explored. And we studied the book of Philippians intensively. And to be honest with you, that part in my life really started the renewed relationship with Christ. So I knew there was something very special about the book of Philippians that I would carry with me for the rest of my life. So that's why I selected this. It was like a no-brainer. That was just like my go-to. Another personal reflection. I know some time ago when we were all congregated in the church, I mentioned publicly that I've been struggling with my purpose in life. What should have been a very exciting time planning my wedding with my wife, I could not sleep. Like a lot of days of staying up, wondering like, what is my purpose? Talk to Pastor Katie. I'm like, am I not going in the right direction? Is my career aligned with what God has for me? Like it was driving me crazy. And I had this gut feeling that, you know, something special is going on with me, but I really don't know what it is. And I was like, God, please tell me, please tell me. And I'm pretty sure that everyone has had that type of conversation with God at some points. Like, please, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. But just let me know, like, just a hint. I like started like peeling back. I'm like, I don't need to know the full plan. Just give me like, you know, if I'm not going in the right direction, just, you know, scoop me over something, nothing. So, you know, I had many pillow talks with my wife and she was like, you know what? God is preparing you. Maybe it's not time. Be patient. So I said, okay. I came to terms with the purpose. I said, okay, God will reveal that in due time. But then, you know how anxiety gets. I started adding, like, so I solved that issue, put that fire out, started another fire. I said, okay, well, when God does tell me, I don't think I'm ready. I don't think that I'm prepared. Actually, I don't think I have the ability. I started just all these doubts. I don't even know what it is that he wants me to do, but I already know I can't do it. So I'm like, wow. That really bothered me because it's like, I don't even know the task, but I've already signed myself off. So I've used these passages to help me deal with that whole ordeal that I'm currently still going through. So I just want to kind of give some background on the book of Philippians for those that may not be familiar with it. So it was written by the Apostle Paul, one of the three epistles, and he wrote many of these letters in prison. A lot of people through my research have regarded a lot of Paul's letters as love letters. And when I first heard that, I kind of chuckled. I was like, love letters in the Bible? But as I continue to read this book of Philippians, it was. That definitely was what was happening. He had so much compassion and regard and just really had a deep concern for the people that he was writing to. And I felt that it absolutely was a love letter. So that made me more excited because I feel that I'm a hopeless romantic in general. And I just have a deep love for people, you know. So a few things that was Anna read as well as myself, I just want to highlight as I'm kind of setting the stage for what's happening in the book of Philippians. So Paul said in the very beginning, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So that right there, like, it's like, huh, that's interesting. So God already, like, he's actually 100% confident that what is going to happen is going to happen one way or another. Another thing that kind of stuck out in this book of Philippians is Paul's religious resume. I don't know if you caught some of that. A Hebrew of all Hebrews, a Pharisee. Like, when I was looking at his resume and my religious resume, I don't even know if I have a religious resume, to be frank with you. Like, it's like lack thereof. I'm like, wow, like, I mean, and I'm sure that's his religious resume. I'm sure his, like, his professional CV was probably on point too. So I'm like, wow, like, God really, he's got it going on, you know? But like, then he says, it's garbage. You know, like, if I had a resume like that, I would be like, it'll be PDF copies on backup copies. I'm sending it out to everyone. I'm blasting it, you know, like, if, because that would make me feel good, you know? But for him, it's all garbage when he compares it to knowing Christ. And furthermore, he says that it's garbage compared to Christ because none of what he is from himself. His righteousness comes from God. So I thought that that was interesting. The last point within the book of Philippians is he says that he has not arrived at his goal, but he remembers that he needs to forget about the things in the past, whether good or bad, because he's definitely done some good things, obviously. There's no doubt about that, but I'm sure he's not always had it right, even though he claimed that he was faultless. So maybe, I don't know. But all of it, he doesn't think about that. He moves forward. And it's for the prize. And in my mind, when I think about the prize, I think about, you know, being in front of God and presenting all your works and God knowing that those works were out of love for him and for his glorification. And that seems like that's the only thing that Paul was really focused on. So I'm going to shift a little bit. And I want you to stick with me. I promise that this will all come together, but I'm going to make a big shift. We're going to put Philippians on the table, but we're going to get back to Philippians, but I want to take a shift. Now, of course, you've seen the theme of this sermon is somebodiness. We've heard references to Martin Luther King. He really coined the word somebodiness. So I want to kind of talk to you, give you a little big background on when this word appeared in history and how I came across it. So Martin Luther King had a speech called What's Your Blueprint? What's Your Life's Blueprint? This speech was actually, ironically, right here in Philadelphia. He gave the speech at Barrett Junior High School 6 months before his assassination. And it was to a group of youth. And he basically went through, like, what would a guideline be for, you know, your blueprint of life? And, like, when I Googled that, I was like, oh, yeah, I need to, like, because I don't know where my life's going. Like, what's my blueprint, MLK? I'm on top of this. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to go through everything that Martin Luther King said in that guideline, but I would encourage you to watch it. It's a phenomenal speech. But one thing that really stuck out to me was Martin Luther King said, number one, in your life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth, and your own somebodiness. Don't allow anyone to make you feel that you are nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth, and always feel that your life has ultimate significance. And when I heard those words, I was instantly sad. As I mentioned, he was talking to a group of junior high school students. I was watching this, I'm 31 now. I was watching this at age 30. And I was like, I don't have a deep sense of somebody-ness. I actually feel like a nobody. And like, he's talking to kids, you know, young and like, they're getting, you know, I wish that somebody would have said that to me. And why at age 30, I feel like I don't have a sense of somebody-ness. So it was definitely a punch to the gut. Now, on with this word, somebodiness. Okay, Martin Luther King said, you gotta have a deep sense of your own somebodiness. But I would say a lot of people don't, including myself. And I think that, you know, the reasons behind that is life experiences, definitely. But I think that there's some more to that, some more things are more in your face, definitely some philosophical things going on. And that's when I go back to two things. So circling back to Paul, as Paul mentioned, our righteousness comes from God, not us. Anything outside of that is definitely a recipe for disaster. So if I recall, like when I started to study this book, it's twofold. There's the self-righteous, and then there's the people that have self-hate and low self-esteem. Now, I tend to fall on the spectrum of not really thinking much of myself, because I think that I got to have this degree, or I have to do this at church, and I have to tithe, and I have to make this money and this status and this and that, this gender, all of these different things. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not what God needs, or I can't do this. Because of forgetting that my righteousness and my everything, my ability comes from Him. So when you start to deviate and think that you have a lot of control in a situation, that's where that self-hate and that low self-esteem comes from. But wait a minute. Not everybody has that issue. You know, some people are very self-righteous. And I'll definitely get to that in a moment. But I think that that's one of the root causes of someone not having a sense of somebodiness. It's because they're involving themselves too much. Now, the next root cause, in my opinion, and I think that MLK definitely, I wouldn't even say he alluded to it. He's basically calling it out. White supremacy. Marginalized people are reminded that they are nobody every single day they walk out this door. And honestly, you don't have to walk out the door. You can cut on the TV. You can open up your cell phone. You can look at your apartment. You can look at your bank account and just feel like nobody cares. You know, medical bills. There's so many different things and different reminders for marginalized people that, you know, takes away that sense of somebodyness. I think that as a youth, the possibilities are infinite for yourself. But I think that, you know, a lot of people say, why are adults so like angry? Because, you know, when you, as a child, you see the abilities, you feel like I you know, they tell you in elementary school that you're going to be somebody and they're pumping that in you. And at some point you realize that maybe that's not going to happen for me. And then that's when your sense of somebodiness is diluted. And that's all rooted in white supremacy. So I think that whether you have this, you know, issue with not understanding that your righteousness and your ability and your everything comes from Christ, or that you're being affected by white supremacy, both of them are acting as barriers to your confidence and to affecting your trust with Christ, and ultimately disrupting God's purpose for you, because you can't get through, because you're cutting yourself short. So what's the million-dollar question is, how you find, like, how you get some of that somebodiness, you know? How do you get that? And to be honest with you, I'm not there yet. I'm still trying to get, you know, sprinkles of somebodiness, but I have a few tidbits, and I like the word tidbits. Everybody makes fun of me at work and say, what's Rob's tidbits? So I'm going to give you a few of Rob's tidbits, and hopefully, you know, maybe you can take this as a basis and then, you know, maybe build on that. Maybe give me some of your tidbits, and then we can have like tidbits galore. But I think that the formula here is you need to have a relationship with Christ, a vulnerable relationship with Christ. As I mentioned earlier, when I watched the video with MLK, it's like I feel like a nobody. I had to speak that. Like, that really, like, hurt me. It really did, because I'm like, I'm 30 years old, and I feel like a nobody. Like, and I'm, like, spinning my wheels, getting this degree, trying to do this job, do that, and I still, like, I have a wife. Like, I came out. People love me. I'm doing all this, and I still feel like a nobody. So it's nothing that I can do. I can't check off the box and check so many boxes to I feel like a somebody. I have to realize that with all things that I've done, I'm still a nobody, because I'm not going to the source, not acknowledging that my righteousness, my ability, my everything comes from Christ. So I think that that's the first, you have to have a relationship and a very vulnerable conversation with God and acknowledge that your righteousness and your everything comes from him. Now, I told you I'd get back to the white supremacy topic and the hyper self-righteous folk, right? So, as I mentioned, not everybody suffers from like lack of somebody-ness. Actually, people really feel like somebodies. And a lot of people that feel like somebodies are probably not marginalized folk. I'm not going to make a general blanket statement, but a lot of times when you see AKA our White House administration, I don't think he suffers from the lack of somebodiness. So what about those folks that have an inflated somebodiness, that I have this degree, I do this at church, I volunteer, I gave $1,000 to Black Lives Matter. Okay. Rhetorical question. What if you didn't do all of those things? Would you still feel like you were somebody? What if you didn't have a degree? What if you didn't have a spouse? You know, maybe, what if you didn't have any of those things? Would you still feel like somebody? Would things change? If you couldn't tithe, you know, $100 every Sunday, would you still feel like you're pleasing in God's eyes? And, this is something, again, you have to have a vulnerable conversation. Just like the people that suffer from low self-esteem and self-hate, people that have inflated egos or sense of somebody-ness have to have, but like, you know, it's okay because, like, we're works-based. Like, we think that we can do all these things and that we'll align better with Christ because, again, we're having we're putting it on us and not him. So if any of those things change, then your sense of somebody-ness is rooted in other things that are not Christ-like. Your sense of somebody-ness is rooted in ego. Your sense of somebody-ness is rooted in capitalism. Your sense of somebody-ness is rooted in white supremacy and privilege. The highlight is, if it doesn't come from Christ, if it's not for the glorification of Christ, then get rid of it. If you want to achieve that deep sense of somebody-ness that Martin Luther King spoke of, then you have to go through him. We're being used for his purpose. So 2020, call to action. 2020 is a hot mess, an absolute hot mess. I mean, it's been baking for some years, some decades probably. So this is like, you know, all hands on deck. I've said this in the past, and I deeply feel this with all my heart, that everybody has an intricate part in everything that's going on. Everyone. I really, truly feel that. But I think that people's lack of that deep sense of somebody-ness gets in the way. Or people that have this inflated somebody-ness is taking up space. So I think that I have two messages here for my marginalized folks. Got to break down the barriers that is getting in the way of your sense of somebody-ness. God will lead you. He'll remove those barriers. He will strengthen you. He will give you courage. He will give you guidance. For my privileged folks, with that inflated sense of somebody-ness, you're taking up space. And what you should be doing is trying to work, unpack some of that, unpack the reasons why you do what you do, and are you doing it for Christ and for his glorification, or are you doing it for yourself? And if there's anything outside of that, unpack that. And this is not, I'm not attacking anyone because we are all God's people. But at the same time, in order for us to grow as a people and to resolve this very complex situation that at hand, we have to be honest with ourselves. So I think that for both marginalized people and privileged people, we have to be vulnerable with Christ so that he can guide us to what we should be doing for him and for the glorification of him and ultimately to resolve this crazy world, this cruel world that we're in. So Paul said in the first chapter, he had a prayer for his people. And I really really felt very aligned to this prayer, because there's been times where I've laid in my bed and just cried for the world. Like, I'm an empath to the 1,000th degree. So I really, this prayer resonated with me, and I want to close out my sermon with this prayer. I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want everyone to become someone, be a somebody, to enact change in this world. Amen.
Take me as I am, summon out what I shall be, set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Take, oh, take me as I am, summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, God, for reminding us that we count, that we matter, that we belong, that we are somebody. And it's not something that we earn. It's rooted in God. It's our inherent worth. Here's what I believe. I believe night always gives way to the dawn. I believe war always gives way to peace. I believe death is always shattered by life. Here's what I believe. I believe God is doing a new thing. Every minute of every day, God is at work around us, within us, from the homeless, a place to live, for the hungry, a feast, for the thirsty, a cup of cold water that runneth over, for the worry, rest, for a lonely friend, for the sick, healing and wholeness. Here's what I believe. Every minute of every day, God is making all things new, giving and giving and giving again. And you are called, we are called to be a part of God's work of generosity. You are called to give, to surrender your time, your talent, your treasure to this God work of making all things new. You are called to give. We are called to give. This morning offering will now be given and received. You can go to the website or text a donation or send a check to the church. Give generously and as you can.
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Loving God, with this money, make a whole new world. With this gift, help us make real what your prophets declare, that mourning and crying and pain will be no more. With these people, help make a world where everyone is love, where Black lives matter, where everyone belongs, where everyone is somebody. A world where justice and compassion roll down like a mighty stream. A world where everyone has warm food, cool water, healthcare, and friends. A world where death is no more and where mourning and crying and pain are no more. Do it now, God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Anna. And we're going to continue now in our time of prayer. So this is, we're going to transition now into sharing our joys and concerns and testimonies. So this is a time where we can use the chat function. You can use the chat function to share a reflection on the service or to bring your joys or your struggles for any other prayer concerns you have before God and before our community. So you can do that now if you want to contribute or lift up a prayer. You can type that into the chat box, and in just a moment I will read those prayers so that we can all hear them. So let's take a few moments to share what's on our hearts. And I want to take a moment just as we're thinking and lifting those up. I want to take a moment to welcome Gabby. I see that we have a new person visiting here with us this morning. And Gabby, we're glad you're with us. Welcome for this time. And we're glad you're here. And to anyone else who's visiting or has been visiting recently or is joining us, we're glad you're here and we're grateful for your presence with us this morning. So we give thanks for that. Other prayers that we want to lift up this morning, please share. From Anna. Please pray for my friend Doris. Anna, maybe you should read this so I don't get the last name. Can you read that prayer?
Uricoechea.
Uricoechea. Thank you. Who lost her dad to COVID last week. Oh, thank you for sharing that. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Charlene Comfer. Gratitude for Rob's powerful sermon. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris Purdom, for protesters injured, killed, and facing charges this weekend in Portland, Aurora, and Louisville. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Crystal Cheatham, I want to pray for my brother who has been having panic attacks. He lost his job as a chef because of COVID, and watching the news every day just compounds his anxiety. Abraham is his name. Thank you. Lifting up Abraham. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Alicia, joy and continued prayers for my client A. She has been in the CHOP ICU for 3 months due to COVID. She is still recovering, but will be coming home within the next week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Pax, a prayer for safe travel and health as John and I travel to visit my family and her family over the next 2 weeks. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jennifer, Rose, and Levi. Prayers for students, teachers, and parents as our communities figure out what school will look like this fall. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Gina del Corazon. Prayers for healing for Anna, who has been struggling with an eye inflammation condition for the last 10 days with an unclear cause. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Sarah, prayers for my family as my uncle passed away last week. May he be home with the Lord now. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Elizabeth and Ray, a prayer for Elizabeth's co-workers, two psychiatrists and a therapist who have COVID. Please pray for our safety and our patients' safety as we begin to see patients in person. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Michelle and Amanda. Prayers for Michelle as they are dealing with an asthma flare-up for a few weeks now. They have an appointment this week, so prayers for the doctor to help treat this condition. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from Ginny. I pray for the Thompson family who are marking 2 years in sanctuary. From John. Sorry, that prayer is from John. I pray for the Thompson family who are marking 2 years in sanctuary. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So as we see and hear these prayers, we lift all of them up. Each prayer is significant and involves a person or a situation that is on our hearts and that is on God's heart. And so we honor each of these prayers that have come in and lift them up together. We also lift up the prayers that you still hold that may be on your heart and that we're holding in silence too. So let's sing together, bring your burdens to God, and let's be mindful of these prayers and lift them up together as we sing. Continue to lift up our hearts to God. Oh God, we do give you thanks for this time of gathering together. We thank you for the ability to connect across physical distance, to hear your word spoken through Rob, to hear a message from you, and to remember that we are loved and held and challenged. God, we thank you for this time of connecting with each other and remembering who we are and who we're called to be. God, I ask for those of us who are struggling right now to find our somebody-ness, I ask that you would help us, that you would break through the barriers of white supremacy, of capitalism, and of greed that lies to us about our worth. Help us to find our somebody-ness. And I ask, God, that you would help those of us with inflated sense of somebody-ness, that you would help us, that you would deflate us, that we would decrease so that you can increase, and that you would break through the barriers of white supremacy, of capitalism and greed that lie to us about our inflated sense of self. God, speak to us, remind us of our true value and purpose in you and in light of your love. And in light of Christ's love. Be with us, God, in our places of pain and struggle. Help us to hold on and to continue. Help us to reach out to each other and to remember that we don't walk alone. Be with us, God, in these days and in this week ahead. We thank you for our companion who is always with us. Jesus, we thank you for Jesus's presence in our life, and we thank you for the prayer that he taught us to pray. And so will you join me now in your homes as we pray this prayer together? Whatever version you know is fine, or if you don't have a version or don't know it by heart, you can pray the version here in front of you on the screen. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
For our closing song, I invite you to find a posture and maybe having your hands open to receive the peace of the earth, the peace of the heavens, the peace of the rivers, and the peace of the oceans. The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you. God's peace growing in you. The peace of the earth be with you, the peace of the heavens too. The peace of the rivers be with you, the peace of the oceans too. Deep peace falling over you. God's peace growing in you.
As you go into the week, remember, your sense of somebodyness is rooted in Christ. Go in peace.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. And with that blessing, we're going to take just a few minutes to greet each other. If you want to say a few words, let's take, yeah.